We good? There you go. No? Maybe? One, two, one, two. There you go. Okay. Yesterday we went to Millennium Mall, my wife and I, and our three children, partly because with Hope, my wife went into labor at Millennium Mall, so I thought, you know, maybe something would happen. Didn't happen. Oh, well, we'll try again tonight. Millennium Mall. Anyways, so we're at Millennium Mall, and you know, when you go to the mall and you have three small children and a pregnant wife, generally the best course of action is that you take the kids and you send her off shopping, because that way everyone's the most happy. Well, Brooke had two returns to make, so she went off to do that, and we were going to meet her over at Pottery Barn Kids. I don't know if you've ever been to Pottery Barn Kids at the Millennium Mall, but it's a big playground for the children. It's wonderful. There are beds they can jump on, there are chairs they can sit on, and there are toys that are out to play. One thing in particular is there's this kitchen set that they put out. It's got like three different ovens and a dishwasher and a washing machine, and it's brilliant. You know, teach your kids how to do stuff from the time that they're 2 years old. That way they get a passion for cooking, cleaning, and doing the laundry. I love it. So, great place to take your kids. So I go and sit in this red bean bag thing, kind of sit back on the floor right with an eyes view of the entire kitchen, and I just send my children into the kitchen. And then what they do is they progressively bring me bigger and bigger bowls of food, pretend food obviously, but you know, and then I just have to pretend to eat it for a second or two, hand it back and say thank you, and that could be an hour's worth of entertainment right there. I'll tell you why it can be such a great form of entertainment for the children. Because children have something that they still retain that we as adults tend to lose more and more. And today, this morning, I hope that we can recapture some of that. And that is this neat little word called imagination. I mean, children have an amazing imagination. I was watching Return to Neverland. And there's a story all about imagination. And of course, in the movies, you can portray what you think is going on in the minds of the children. So suddenly they're in their world of imagination, and then suddenly they're back in the real world, and there's really no difference between the two. So I just watched this movie, and I'm sitting there watching my kids play in the kitchen, and I watch Cullen fight with Hope, because he set the oven at a certain level, and she was changing the level, and he was cooking food in the oven. I mean, this is serious business. And she's opening the oven, trying to stick some more food in there. And I hear him go, "I'm cooking in there. You can't touch that." And she goes, "But I want to cook too." And he goes, "Well, my food's not ready yet." And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if my son's actually looking at that oven and he's waiting for the food to get hot, to pull it out so that it's perfect for his dad to run over and say, "The carrots are cooked." You know, I don't know what was running through Cullen's head, but I am pretty sure that he no longer saw wooden pretend food in the oven. That what he saw was carrots cooking ready to be pulled out. Because imagination is just that powerful. It's just that wonderful. Imagination has a way of taking reality and shifting it and changing it so that it can become more than reality. It can become super reality. It can become something that isn't even there. And it can all happen in the minds of a child that's willing to go, "I imagine. I imagine." You know, imagination is a funny thing because it's very powerful in children because it gives them a world that they can play in, but it can be just as powerful for us as adults. I love imagination. Now, I do enjoy imagination because I can, you know, fly off the stairs in my Superman suit, or I can do all that with my kids, but you know, it's still difficult for me to take that part of imagination and make it so real that I'm suddenly there and I'm looking around in my house realizing I am on the top of a building. That's a little more difficult for me. But you know what's not hard for me? What's not hard for me is to take the life I live and to look out into that thing called the future that I can't see and I can't know and begin to imagine about that future. 4 years ago, in September, my wife and I moved to Claremont, Florida. Because we imagined in our minds that if we came here with, we had a friend who lived here, Charles Cooper, and we came and partnered with him and thought, if we came here and we started a church of some kind, a church that would exude freedom and would exude a sense of discovery and wonder about God, then we could come together and we could create this place, and that God would take a foundation like that, an imagination like that, and he would start something with it. And so 4 years ago, we moved down here, and we started this thing called Ocean Church. You can imagine how well Ocean Church went over in Claremont, Florida, because back then it was still somewhat of a retirement community. Ocean Church, you may as well walk in and say we're a cult. I mean, we are a cult. We want you to know that right off the bat. We are evil, and we are going to suck you into some vortex that you'll never be able to escape from. We are Ocean Church. So, of course, I came from Monterey, California, where, Ocean Church is like conservative. Oh, that must be the conservative Baptist church over there. Ocean Church, yeah. So, we come in here and we start Ocean Church, and the first year goes by, and we see God do some pretty cool things. I mean, I'm not going to tell you all those stuff right now, but God does some pretty cool things. Some people come in, and we start a church. I remember our very first service at the Legends Clubhouse. We had a couple of families show up that we'd kind of walked around and knocked on the doors and said, we're starting a church at the clubhouse over here. A month later, we were kicked out of the clubhouse because you can't have religious meetings there, and moved on from there into another little place, and God kind of started doing stuff with our church. Well, about a year into it, we realized that Ocean Church was a significant problem because of the whole cult thing. And so we prayed about it, and we said, Lord, this is obviously not going to work. And God gave us this amazing concept of mosaic, of the church, the body of Christ. All pieces come together in one place, and when you put them all in their right places in the body, then suddenly you've got this amazing sense of a picture of art, because little pieces of tile are together. So we have this concept in our minds. We go, wow, think about a mosaic, right? When you take little broken pieces of tile that by themselves, you'd sweep them up from the floor and throw them in the trash, but you stick them in just the right place on a board, and suddenly you look back and go, whoa, that's amazing. And so we thought, that's it. I mean, that's it. That's our church right there. A bunch of broken pieces of tile put together to turn into a piece of art that God can show the world and say, this is what I intended. A bunch of broken people together doing extraordinary things that nobody can imagine. And it stuck, mosaic. There it was. And so then we decided, you know what? Mosaic needs a logo. So we went onto this website that does logos, and we threw out who we were, and we just started going nuts. And people did all sorts of things. And before you know it, this one girl, Paula, she sends this to me. And she goes, I kind of like the crown of thorns idea. I just thought about the peace of God, and so I put a dove in there as well. And I'm like, really? That's amazing. And so I look at this, and you see the dove, there's the beak. And then it goes around, and there's a wing sticking out there, and then a wing coming out here, and then the tail of the dove going out like that. And so suddenly you realize that it incorporates the peace of God because of the payment of God, right? Because the crown of thorns, the death of Christ, is what gives us peace. And so this logo emerged, and it was like, this is who we are. This is who we are. A bunch of broken pieces creating art so that we can let the world know that because of Christ's sacrifice, we have peace with God. And the logo emerged. And then about 2 years ago, we realized Ocean Church and Mosaic Church were all kind of a big mix. And Charles and I, Charles was working a full-time job and just could not do both things. And so we decided, the time had come that we just kind of moved on. And Charles still lives in the area, and we still communicate. But we took this church and we thought, okay, so 2 years ago, in April 2 years ago, so a little under 2 years ago, we incorporated this church as Mosaic Church. So we officially started what you're sitting in now, what you're part of now. This place that we call our home started in April, just under 2 years ago, we incorporated. And then Mosaic Church launched, and we met in some of the craziest places in town. I mean, there's hardly a dump around here that I haven't met in. So, we started off. I mean, we've met now. Let me just remove the dump for a second. We started in the Lord's gym, actually, which was not a dump, a little aerobics room with mirrors all around. You should try to worship like that. Whoa! Look at that. It's kind of like aerobics and worship all in one. It's really fun. And then we moved into this little warehouse on 27, and we revamped this entire warehouse and kind of, and when I say revamp, I mean duct tape and black cloth and, anything, because, churches like ours, there wasn't stuff around to buy. You just had to go and find it in trash cans and stuff. I'm being a little facetious, but it was almost that way. So we put some stuff together, and we start in this little warehouse, and we do some electrical work in the warehouse, and I call an inspector from the city, by the way. uncalled inspectors from the city. It's naive that way. And so I called them because I wanted, you know, I wanted our church from the get-go to be a church of integrity. So I called the inspector and said, look, we've just done some electrical work. It's by a reputable company, but could you come and check it for us so that we know? And he comes and he checks electrical work and he goes, that's great. Electrical work's great. However, do you have a question for you? How many people meet here? I said, I don't know, 40, 50 people come with the kids and everything. And he goes, well, you only have one bathroom. I said, yeah, I know. We were grandfathered. And he goes, not anymore. I go, what do you mean? This is on a Thursday. That Thursday, he shuts us down and he says, you can't meet here anymore. So Friday, I go to Starbucks to get a cup of coffee because that's what I do when I need to think. And I'm sitting there going, God, we're really trying here. I mean, we're trying. We are. We're trying to be men of integrity, a church of integrity. We're trying to be a place that people can come to. If you keep shutting our doors, it's not going to work for us. And so a worship leader from Real Life walks in and he goes, hey, Renato, how's it going? I go, as a matter of fact, it's going fine, except for that we don't have a church and I've got to have people there this Sunday. And he goes, well, why don't you call Justin and meet over at Real Life for a little while, 6 weeks or so? And I'm like, great. So I called Justin up. I just met him that week. And he goes, sure, no problem. You can meet here for 6 weeks. So a year and a half later, after we met at Real Life in the evenings, the church had kind of emerged there. When we started at Real Life, they had pews, okay? And they were probably, I remember, my wife tells me I lie all the time, but I'm telling you, I clearly remember in my imagination that there were seven people there one time in the pews that seats 250 people. You try that sometime. You try to preach on a stage to seven people scattered across a dark room. You're like, am I talking to anyone? So maybe it was 14 people, but I'm telling you, it felt like three either way. And so the pews got rid of. We partnered with their church to buy chairs and a carpet, and we put chairs and carpets in, and we started creating round tables, and the DNA of Mosaic started emerging. And then about 14, 15 months ago, somewhere around there, maybe a little over a year ago, I was at Real Life Christian Church. And I just God just laid on my heart that he was going to do some neat things in this church. And so I preached this message to the church. It wasn't a very big church, just a handful of people. But some of you sitting out there, you were there. And I stood up and I said, you know, I know that imagination is a powerful thing. And I know that God does extraordinary things with imagination. And so I preached this little message. And I want to play you just about 1 minute's worth of that message. I just found it this week, actually. Wouldn't you know it? And it just sparked in my mind again the power of imagination. Take a look at this.
This year. By this time next year, I have no doubt in my mind that my imagining a service on a Sunday morning and a service on a Sunday night will be a reality. I have no doubt in my mind that imagining people established in life groups will be a reality. I have no doubt that imagining people coming together in events that are driven by community will be a reality. And I can imagine that this community will begin to know Mosaic Church as a place of freedom, and a place where they can find sanctuary, and a place where they can come and worship freely, and a place where they can come and join other people in their journey spiritually to explore and discover what God has for them, even if they're not really sure who God is. I can imagine, and I know that those things are going to become a reality.
So that was 14 months ago. And you know what? Here's the thing about that. You know, I find that little videotape, and I look at it, and it reminds me that when we as adults, we as Christ followers, are willing to step up in front of God and say, we are ready to imagine. We are ready to really just say, God, take us places that are beyond our imaginations, that he can do that. Listen to this for a second. I want you to listen. If you have your Bibles with you, Ephesians chapter 3. But if you just want to today just sit back and relax and listen, you can do that too, because this is not a very long passage, but it's an amazing passage. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says a prayer for them. He says a prayer for them. Listen to this prayer. This is an amazing prayer. Starting in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's us, the church, Christ followers. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of Christ is. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, I mean, don't you just want to eat those words? I mean, don't you just want to like take a straw and just suck them up and just let them sit in you and just go, oh, yes. And then Paul doesn't stop there. Listen, listen now. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so let's get this straight. You're telling me that God, after a prayer like that, which is beyond imagination, can do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine? Yes, that's what Paul's saying. That God can take what we can bring to the table, what we can present, and he can take it and say, oh, if only you knew what I could do with that. See, in the same way that Colin stands in front of that little oven and he's staring into the window, watching his carrots cook, going, oh, they're almost ready. Little browning on the top there. Just about. Don't you touch my oven. It's on 500 right now. Watching. Just as his mind is transformed from a reality in which he lives, which is a wooden piece of food in an ice-cold oven in a store, and now it's cooking the carrots perfectly for his father, just in that same way, God can take our imaginations and transform the reality in which we live into a super reality, into a reality beyond our imaginations. He can take stuff beyond what we can dream and what we can think about, what we can ask for. Now, we have to be ready to give ourselves to God and say, whatever reality it is you want to take us into, we're ready to go. Because imagination, sometimes we're imagining this and God goes, oh, no, 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 we're going to go over here. And the journey from there to here is like, what? Whoa, whoa, this is what I asked for. This is what I imagined. And God goes, I know, but don't worry, just follow me here. You're like, but it's mine. And God goes, don't worry, when we're done, this will be immeasurably more than all you can ask for or imagine. So I have this new thing in my heart. I've been doing this year. This year's been last year and this year. You know, planting church. You live in a reality like the cold oven with the food that's wooden. You know, you're like, why am I here? I need a real oven with real carrots. This is crazy. And then you start realizing, you know what? It's time to stare into that little thing and just start imagining that the carrots are cooking and that everything's running the way it should. And so about a year and a half ago, right about there, when you heard me do that, I started saying, you know what, God? I'm going to start imagining. I'm just going to start imagining. I'm going to imagine big things for this church. I'm going to imagine you to do extraordinary things through us. And while I begin to imagine that stuff, I'm just going to trust that whatever you want to do with this church, you're going to do. And it's going to be exceedingly, immeasurably beyond what I can imagine. And so here we stand, December 31st, 2006. We are closing the book on a chapter in our church's history that will stand, I think, for all of this church's history as one of the great years in our history because of what God has done. If you're sitting in these seats and you have been here less than a year, you are the majority. Hello? Look around you. Look at everyone and go, hey, you're just like me. You're not new. You are the church. Because if you've been here longer than a year, thank you. Thank you for staying. I don't know why you did, but I appreciate it. Really. Because, I mean, we've just crawled our way into this year. And now, as we stand on our feet and I begin to dream and I begin to imagine, I begin to see things and imagine things about 2007. I'll tell you what I imagine about 2007. I'll tell you what I imagine about these next 12 months we're about to emerge into. You know, I imagine that in this place, that the church, Mosaic, and look around for a second, that's you. It's not this building. It's not these carpets and these cloths and these chairs. It's not a church. One hurricane and this place is gone, all right? But you are the church. And I can imagine that this year, that Mosaic will emerge out of this year, demonstrating our passion for God and his passion for people in some very unique ways. I can imagine that the passion of God that is emerging in some of your hearts right now will begin to overflow into other people's lives in this church, and that this entire church at the end of this year will look around and go, we are so passionate about Christ and about what he's doing that we just can't hold it in anymore. And it's just bubbling out everywhere. It's oozing out of us. I can imagine that out of that passion will come a foundation and a shield of integrity. I can imagine in this church that there's stuff going on in your lives right now and in my life right now that all of us know, I just wish that wasn't going on in my life. And I can imagine in 2007 that some of that stuff, the doors are going to shut on that stuff, and that we are going to walk out of that life and we're going to walk into a life of such integrity as individuals and as a church that we're going to be marked by that and guarded by that integrity. I can imagine that as we walk out of that world of passion and integrity, that the wisdom that begins to emerge out of this place called Mosaic, will be extraordinary. I can imagine that our friends will come to us asking us for advice on all sorts of things because they'll watch our lives and they'll go, it seems like everything you do is marked by wisdom. Wisdom is the application of truth. And so wisdom requires that we know truth. And I can imagine that by the end of this year, that all of those of you that call this your home would say, I know God's word. I know it. I know the big picture. I know how it puts together. I know details. God speaks to me through it, and I live my life by it. I can imagine that kind of wisdom oozing out of this place. I can also imagine that out of that passion for God, as we demonstrate our passion for God in that way, that other things will emerge. I can imagine a community that is so evasive, so intentional in this place, that when we look at each other at the end of this year, we realize that all of our best friends are part of our family. That we look around and we go, this is home. This is family. We die for each other. We live for each other. We take care of each other. We shift our resources for each other. We make things happen for each other, so that together we carry one another. I can imagine a community like that. I can imagine the kind of community that the dark, deep secrets of your life start coming out and pouring into community. And people go, oh, well, welcome to humanity. And we start dealing with that stuff. I can imagine a place like that. I can imagine that in 2007, that place will begin to emerge here. I can imagine a place that is so passionate about God that in 2007 we engage the community around us to such an extent through our demonstration of love and our verbal communication of the gospel that this community looks into this church and wherever they stand, they can say one thing at least, and that is that that place, if there's a place that loves people, it is that place. I mean, yes, they're a little annoying sometimes because they're always around and they're just hugging you and they're telling you about Jesus and they're doing stuff for you and we're tired of it. But man, they love you no matter what, no matter who. I can imagine that we engage a community on that level. I can imagine that when the word mosaic is spoken, that people think of faces sitting out there, that they know that you're part of something bigger than yourself, something that God is doing. You're a piece of a tile in a beautiful picture of art. I can imagine that that kind of community and then that kind of engagement of the community around us would lead to a passion for us to see global impact. And I can imagine in this place, I can imagine at the end of 2007 that when you look at the world from God's perspective and you take a big vantage point, that there will be handprints of this church all over the globe. I can imagine that we will be shifting things, whether it's through resources or through time or through energy or through travel or through whatever it takes, that we begin to become a place that the entire globe starts shifting because we are here and because we are the church. And I can imagine that kind of an impact starting to occur, not in 2020, but in 2007. And I can imagine that when you and I sit together, that we look around at the end of this next year, and we look at who we are, that we will look and we will notice that we have become more and more like Christ would have been if he walked this planet. Walking around, loving one another, loving our community, loving the world, changing everything because we have the knowledge and wisdom and passion and integrity that is required to be that kind of a body. And so who we are, demonstrating our passion for God, will become who we are to everyone around us, demonstrating his passion for them. And so we will become Mosaic Church. And I will not have to stare into a cold wooden oven anymore, but I will see warm carrots cooking in there. And suddenly I will step back and I will go, how did it happen? How did it happen? How did this wooden oven with wooden food that we started off with turn into the most glorious, fragrant, wonderful meal on the planet? And God will look at me and he will say, because I can do immeasurably more than all you can ask for or imagine. and I will take a church of people who are willing to say, God, do immeasurably more than all we can ask for or imagine, and I will take them places that they cannot imagine. And then we as the church will become the kind of place that we all go, oh, to be part of what God is doing is amazing. You know, I think about all that, and I think about imagining all that, and I think about what it might be like if this year actually turns out to be like that, or even more than that, and I start thinking about the world we live in. I start thinking about the people that are right outside the walls of this church living in houses right around us. I think about the couple sitting in their house right now, somewhere right here in Oakland or Claremont, and the bills and the income are not matching up at all. And it's not like they're doing anything special. It's just basic bills. And they're not matching up, and their four children are sitting there, and they're going, wow, I can imagine the struggles that face that couple. I can imagine the couples who's, you know, they used to love each other. They did. They really did. And they still want to. But every time they walk by each other in the house, they look across. There's just nothing there anymore. And neither one of them are ready to make the break. And they want to, but they don't know how. And so they just live there until everything crumbles. I can imagine the lady on the street sitting there, and she used to have a house, and she used to have a family, and she doesn't know how it happened, but now she has nothing, and she walks from one place to another with a big bag on her back. I can imagine people in Africa and people in China and people in Indonesia, a young woman caught up in the sex trade, and they don't know how they got there, but they were 12 or 11 or 10 when it started. I can imagine mothers holding their children, and there's really nothing to give them, no food, nothing, and so they sit there and they watch. I can imagine a world around us that is slowly falling and imploding and crumbling into itself. And here we sit in this little church, and all these things we've just imagined begin to come true. And so we take what Sean just gave us through that song that he wrote. We take this incredible thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, which is far more than a verbal communication, isn't it? It's bringing the love of God into somebody's life and saying, here, God changes lives. He doesn't just tell you, go, be well-fed and warm, but he comes in and he embraces you. And we begin to become the catalyst for reaching out into those places and beginning to change them. And that begins to happen when those same marriages and those same couples and those same stuff that's happening right here in this building, right here in these seats, we begin to heal those things up. And so our community, our passion for God, prepares us to be the hands and feet for Jesus Christ in a world that is desperate for love and desperate for the gospel. And you know what's odd? The entire Word of God is a combination of saying, I came to embrace you. Now go and embrace others. That's what God does all the time. I came to save you. Now go and be my voice, my hands, my feet to save others. This is not optional. This is not like, you know, if you have the time on the side. This is God's call into our lives to say, church, listen, go, do something extraordinary, and I will do more than you can imagine as you do the little that you can. I will change hearts, lives, and people. I can imagine at the end of 2007 that we are sitting here, and maybe I'm not talking next year, and maybe we're just sitting, and I'm sitting in a chair right there, and I'm watching story after story after story after story of lives that have changed, not because we are special, but because we imagined and God did more, and people are changed forever. And you can be part of that. Not because it's optional, but because it's God's call on your life if you follow Christ. Leland, the people that are coming here January 12th, wrote an incredible song that I love. I want to play you about 2 minutes worth of that song. Take a look at the screen. Listen to the words. Listen to the words.
There are many prodigal sons. On our city streets they run, searching for shelter. And there are homes broken down, people's hopes have fallen to the ground from failures. This is an emergency.
Sum up everything I've said in the last half hour by saying this one thing. It is my imagination that this church, you and I, shoulder to shoulder, will be a place that week after week, month after month in 2007, lead people home. That we take them from wherever they are in life and we grab them by the hand and we say, come with us. We will show you. We will show you the life that God has. We will show it to you. And when you see it, you can choose. But we will show you. And we will lead them home through our actions, through our words, through our lives, through our resources, through everything that God has given us as a body, as a bunch of broken pieces of tile, brought together for one purpose, to honor God by leading people home. If you're sitting here and you call this place your home, this is your church, this is your family, and you listen to all this and go, yes, yes, I want to imagine that too. I want to be right there imagining with you. If you're sitting here and going, yes, I'm willing to pay whatever price there is to pay to be part of something like that. I'm willing to give myself to God for God to go, yes, I'll take you and do immeasurably more than you can ask for or imagine. If you're sitting here and you're one of those people, and please, please don't stand up if you're not, because there's freedom here. We're not going to be looking at you going, you didn't stand up. What's your problem? I want to pray for you guys, and I want to stand with you guys. I want to put my feet down here and say, 2007, I, Renaud, will follow Christ, and I will pay whatever price there is to pay. I will give whatever I have to give for the sake of being used by God to lead people home this year, to lead this church into that place. And if you're going to stand with me on that, then I'm going to ask you right now, would you stand up on your feet and say, yes, Renaud, I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with you and say, I'm in. I'm in. I'm going to be a part of this place in 2007, and I will do whatever it takes, be a part of whatever it takes to walk down this road. Thank you. I'm telling you, man, God is going to do immeasurably more than all we can ask for or imagine. Look around you. These are the people that you're going to walk with this year. These are the people that you're going to fight with this year. And I don't mean with each other. I mean together. These are the people that together will make up Mosaic, right? Stay standing. Let's pray together. All the rest of you that are sitting, would you stand with us as we pray? God, thank you so much for all that you have done in 2006. Thank you for the wonder of standing on this stage in this building and realizing that 14 months ago when I stood up and I shared that little bit in that message that I could not have imagined in my wildest dreams standing here in 2007 preparing for the New Year's Eve party tonight and getting ready to stand together with this body, with these people, with these pieces of tile standing right here going, we're ready. Let's go and change the world. Let's go and impact everything. Let's go and engage our community and change lives, not because we can, but because you can through us. God, It is an amazing privilege to stand here this morning and know that you have empowered me by your Holy Spirit and by the freedom that you've given me in Christ to walk out there in full integrity, not to have to be captivated any longer by the sinful things, but to be able to walk out there and start living a life that is about you and for you and in you. And it is my prayer, just as it was Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church, it is my prayer to this church standing in front of me, to us, God, that you would allow the riches of your glorious and wonderful mercies to impact our hearts on such a level this year that you would allow us to experience, to know the depth of your love, the height of it, the breadth of it, that we would know your word and the wisdom in your word, and we would live by it, God, that you would empower us with love and gentleness to become the hands and feet and voice of your love to the world right outside these buildings, these walls, to the world sitting inside these walls, that we would encourage one another, and to the world that rests all over this planet, and that this little church right here, this little church sitting here in Oakland, that you would do immeasurably more than we can ask for or imagine, and that you would choose to use us for extraordinary purposes so that story after story after story after story would emerge of people's lives that have changed because your love intersected with their life. God, I pray for all those who are standing that you would empower them this morning to walk out of here ready to live an extraordinary purpose this year. Bind us together in unity. And those who are sitting today, God, I just pray that if this is their first time here or if they've been here for a while and they're still looking at this church, that you would just give them direction wherever it is you want to lead them. And for those sitting, God, that are still figuring out who you are, God, thank you so much that they're here with us. Bless them beyond their wildest imaginations. God, may no man or woman or child leave this building today without you reaching down into their heart and beginning a wonderful process to prepare them for your purposes this year. God, we stand before you now and we offer to you ourselves as living sacrifices. And we ask that you would do whatever you want with us. Just use us. We love you, Jesus. Amen.